My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in. This is the newest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined as always by my co-host and my favorite guy here at the radio station, because we get to chop it up here about college sports, Jay Binkley. We're almost done with
man,
November,
we are.
Man. We've been doing this now, covering this season, since all the way in August, getting you guys ready for this upcoming draft in 2024. And right now, we are nearing the end of the regular season for 2024.
Dude, we're getting close to doing this for a year. We started in February last year.
Yeah,
But yeah, but it was almost a year.
We have 3 months left. Yeah,
yes. When was February? Because
it was right before the combine.
Kansas City. We're excited.
So. It was the Monday before the combine. That was the very first time that we ever came on to the podcast network here at 610 Sports Radio, and we did the first edition of Character Concerns. Look at us now. We almost completed our first regular season for college football together, covering the hottest prospects.
It's more fun doing it that way. It's more fun doing the prospects when they're playing.
Yes.
Because, you know, we could sit there and look at them afterwards and talk about it. It's different if you're watching them play.
Yeah.
It's different if you're watching the ebbs and flows of the season and seeing the matchups that they're doing. Like, I've had a lot of fun watching games every week in a different way, looking at the prospects and seeing what they're doing. Again, talking about the teams with all the multiple players. You know, like Washington, for example. The three maybe first-round receivers in Jalen Polk and Jalen McMillan and Roma Dunze. And I was talking to Sean Barber about this and other players because, you know, that's still the mystery to me, Chris. I think it is the biggest mystery. Now how are you going to separate them? Because I always look at what corner. Because teams do not have three NFL corners on their team.
Yeah, no.
If they're playing Alabama, I say, who's Kool-Aid on? Like, who is he playing on? You know, Malik Nabers. You know, you had a lot of him in that LSU game. So, because I do think that some guys are benefiting from having another stud on the roster.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and you certainly see that with those teams that are really loaded. A lot of times there are those situations where one guy benefits from the other. We talked about this last week with Emeka Egbuka and how he could very well be that guy who is benefiting from coverages, facing and paying more attention to his teammate Marvin Harrison Jr. than him. And certainly that could be something that affects his draft stock come April. But earlier, I think this was actually late last week, a guy that we very much, whenever he puts anything out, it is front page news for any of the draft heads out there. Mel Kiper Jr. put out his big board for 2024.
I think he sets the board. He does it. I think a lot of people kind of copy Mel. I mean, say what they want about
Mel.
He's the
standard bearer.
But I think he puts things out there and then people look at it. Maybe they'll agree or disagree, but I think a lot of the mocks, they won't ever admit it, but I think a lot of them are based on Mel.
Yeah, I think Mel is very much the standard bearer. I think you're right. He is the bar in the industry. And whenever anyone puts a mock out, they're going to try to compare that with what he has. Whenever he puts his first big board out at the beginning of the college football season, all of the people in our position are going to look at that, compare notes, and be like, okay, here's some guys I should watch. And so he put out his list of top 10 players for each position, his big board, top 25 guys, and we've got the list here each position.
Real quick, it is interesting that on a different network, Mike Mayock, who is my favorite draft guy.
Is he your favorite draft guy?
No, it was.
He was.
He put out one mock. One mock. It was a day before the draft.
Yeah.
But I was always curious how that guy is going to be. Because we want to see, how would Mel Kiper do in the front office, right?
Right.
How would he do? We got to see Mike Mayock in the front office, and it was abysmal.
It was terrible.
Not only that, he had advantages because he could literally text every GM. He already knew their tendencies and what they think because he'd been texting them the years before.
He was friends with a lot of those guys.
Guarantee they stopped talking to him when he was a GM. But he failed miserably. So I was always curious how you take a mock guy into an NFL front office, and we get to see what happened. But carry on. I'd like to see what Mel Kiper could do.
So starting with quarterbacks, again, we all know. If you're listening to this podcast, you know it is an inexact science what any of us do here. We're going to do some mock drafts here starting next month, and we're probably going to be really wrong on almost every one of those picks. But you never know. Crazy things happen in this industry. But starting with the quarterback position, he obviously has Caleb Williams as his number one overall player on his big board and his top quarterback there.
I saw a mock today. Caleb Williams going fifth.
Who put this out?
Like SB Nation.
Was it a team blog or was it?
Hang on.
Was it straight?
Let me give you the accurate one.
I think this is a little ridiculous here.
But anyway, they had Drake May going for him. I'm just saying. I hadn't seen that before, but maybe it's this SB Nation one. Hang on. Yeah, SB Nation has Caleb Williams going fifth. And they've got Drake May going third. This one just came out. SB Nation just put this one out today at 7:30. One of their guys. I mean, just one person.
But a guy.
But anyway, it was one of my lead mocks, my stories. But I was just curious where people are putting Caleb.
Look, I think that part of that is like the whole hot take.
It's hot takey.
It's very hot takey. I think it's very much, we're going to put this out there to stir up a little bit of drama, get people talking about what we're doing, and that's why we're putting it out here. But, I mean, let's keep it a buck. If your mock draft is putting Caleb Williams outside of the top two or three picks, your mock draft's not that valid.
Hey, the Giants are loving it.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure there's a lot of teams that are sitting there at that position. And they're like, man, I'd love for Caleb Williams to fall to me at four or five. But I don't see that happening. I think at the very minimum, a team will trade up and try to get Caleb Williams. And I just don't think there's a lot of validity to this idea that he's going to go outside the top three. Like, he's going to go inside the top three for sure. If at very minimum, just so a team trades up so they can get him before anyone else can. Because I guarantee you somebody's watching his film and like, I got to get that quarterback. Somebody's looking at him the same way Veach looked at Mahomes back in 2017. Well, really, it was like 2015. And then in 2017, he's like, we got to get this guy. So I kind of feel like that's what's going
to
happen with Caleb.
I mean, he's had a good year, and I think it is important he finished the year out and didn't listen to everybody like saying, well, maybe you should just sit the games out.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Because that's a bad look for NFL teams that are about to invest a lot in a quarterback. So I'm glad he actually put up decent numbers finishing it out. That defense was just so bad at USC. But so, you can learn a lot about a player when the chips are down.
Yes. And I think it was a very good character trait of his to show up and continue to play. Even though the season was done, basically, I do think it's a bad idea when players try to miss games during the regular season. Because I think, again, you want to play in all as many games as you can, because the grind of playing an NFL season, a full 17-game slate plus any potential playoff games, is really difficult. It's really hard on you, and it does a lot to your body. I mean, I don't know if you saw the newest episode of The Franchise from the Chiefs on YouTube, but Rashee Rice was talking about that, about how he's had to adjust to the grind of having to play a season that is now very quickly approaching being longer than any season he's ever played in his career as a football player. So, yeah, I commend him, Caleb Williams, and any player.
He still put up 384 yards in a loss to UCLA. His last couple games, 384, 291, 312, 369. Keep in mind, this is going down the stretch. So, and 7 touchdowns. So he hadn't exactly folded camp up.
No, so he's still out there. He's out there playing his best. To round out the quarterbacks, they've got Drake May at number 2, which is not shocking. I very much think that there is a camp of people out there that are very, very high on Drake May. Even though I don't think the production is quite as impressive as some of these other guys out there, I think it's a measurable thing for him. So that's why I think a lot of people have him at 2. Number 3, though, very surprising, Shedeur Sanders out of Colorado.
He's all but said he's coming back.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, to me, it's like at this point now, what
maybe
every hint is that he's going to come back and try to be that top quarterback next year.
Unless Deion goes somewhere else and he realizes, hey, do I want to suffer? Because he got hurt in this last game. Shedeur did. He got taken out of the game, and they put a backup quarterback in. But if he's looking and thinking, all right, do you want to play in front of a college line or go play in the NFL? But it depends on what Deion does.
Yeah.
Like, if Deion goes elsewhere, which he could, I don't think he does, but he could.
I don't think he does either.
Shedeur Sanders, I think it's still up in the air with him. I think he's definitely leaning towards coming back. But don't be surprised if he jumps the NFL.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked either. Another guy, number 4, Jaden Daniels out of LSU. I get it. He's got some really gaudy numbers and whatnot. I still think as a passer, there's a lot of work to be done with him as far as like pocket presence goes and mechanics goes. But I do like the energy he brings as far as his ability to run. He does have a good arm. You know, he's one of those guys that as far as like the physical traits go, he has all the physical traits you want in an NFL
quarterback. He leads the SEC in passing yards. Yeah. He's number 2 in rushing.
Yeah, he's putting a lot of numbers. I mean,
he has the
most touchdowns right now.
He's number 1 Heisman guy.
Yeah, he's the most touchdowns in the FBS right now. I think he's got 46 on the year. So
he's the number 1 Heisman contender at this point. He just puts up these Johnny Manziel type numbers, dual threat numbers that he does. I mean, you look at the stat line after every game. And they played Georgia State this past week. It is a Division I team, but still, you're looking at a guy that 4-13-6, and he had 96 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground. I mean, it's why he vaulted. He's vaulted up to a lot of Heisman number 1 odds.
Yeah, yeah, and he's very much earned that because he has been incredibly productive. So moving on to running backs there. Number 1, Autryk Estime, a guy that I think we both have talked about extensively about being probably the top running back in this draft class. Not my favorite running back in this draft class. It's actually the guy that Mel Kiper Jr. had at number 2 for running backs, which was Jonathan Brooks, running back out of Texas. But one thing that really kind of interests me, though, is the fall of Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards as far as where they are. I mean, at this point now, I'm not sure either of those guys go second day.
Blake Corum is still fun to watch.
Yeah, he's still fun to watch, but he's not as effective as he was in previous years.
Well, Donovan Smith's numbers really came down, and I thought best college backfield. But he's proven he can catch the ball still.
Yeah.
I mean, he catches the ball out of the backfield still. But I like what he can do. But Blake Corum's one of those guys, too, that, you know, he's still a big part of what Michigan does. He's still a big part of them, you know, being undefeated, sitting at 888 yards. He's not going to get the 1463 he had last year. And his yards per carry is down to 4.9.
And that's this year. Very concerning, I think, is the drop in actual yards per carry. Because especially lately, like, you're seeing a lot of games where he's averaging, like, in the low 4s, high 3s per game.
And they keep running the ball. They're giving them the ball more than their J.J. McCarthy.
They're using J.J. McCarthy as a game manager. Like a game manager they want to not – like a Malik Willis for the Titans. Like when he came in and played the Chiefs last year, they're using J.J. McCarthy kind of that same way, and it's weird because this is a guy that a lot of people thought was going to be a first-round quarterback. So – it's good for those guys in Corum and Edwards to get those touches, but those guys really aren't like killing it the way that you would think.
And Edwards
would,
usage has slid from 7-1 to 3-4 as far as rushing, 3.4 per carry. But the 24 catches, which is the career high for 225 yards. So he's showing that ability not only to block but catch out of the backfield.
Moving on to wide receivers, obviously number one, Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Ohio State. Number two, Rome Odunze out of Washington.
Huge game.
Yeah.
In the rain.
Like I said, I mean, he's very clearly the best receiver they have in Washington, which it's a loaded wide receiving core there anyways. Keon Coleman, number three, wide receiver out of Florida State. I think he's kind of the unicorn in this draft class because he's a 6'4 wide receiver with, I mean, like I said, I think he might be a 4'4 guy at 6'4. And you're talking about a guy who's fast enough to be a return man at the collegiate level. So that's saying a lot. I mean, he might be even a 4'3, which if he's 4'3, there's no way in hell the Chiefs are going to be able to get him unless they trade way up to go get him.
It's been five games since he's had over 100 yards, but I think a lot of that dictates by, you know, kind of the game plan and what they're doing. Yeah. And it's going to be interesting to see what he does now without Jordan Travis, his quarterback that's hurt.
That knee injury that he had this past weekend. I'm also really concerned about that just because, obviously Jordan Travis, you know, looks like his career is done. And, you know, you feel bad for him. But, you know, at the same time, like, now things are going to change with Johnny Wilson Jr. and Keon Coleman and Jaheim Bell as well. So
he was the big play wide receiver this last weekend for Florida State.
Yeah, so that'll be really interesting to see. One thing that I'm kind of confused by, at four, he's got Malik Nabers, wide receiver at LSU.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
And I've raved about him all year long. I call him Mr. Consistent.
He's my second favorite receiver.
He is by far my second favorite receiver in this draft class. I would be so happy if he's sitting there in like the late teens. I would implore the Chiefs with every ounce of my being to trade up and go get this man.
Trade up for Keon. Trade up for Malik Nabers.
Yes.
Couple guys. Xavier Worthy could stay put. Brian Thomas, Davis, their seventh. He's the other guy at LSU. Again, was leading
but
in touchdowns.
But he's not really the other guy.
He's
a producer by himself.
He's a stud. Just curious, again, we're seeing a lot of multiple receivers for each team.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Chiefs could stay put and get some of these guys.
Yeah.
Now, they have to move up nearly 20s, maybe even higher for Malik Nabers.
I believe Malik Nabers will be off the board before Keon Coleman, unless Keon Coleman runs a sub 4.540. If Keon Coleman runs a sub 4.540, he'll go before Nabers. If not, then I believe that he will be there. So, tight ends. Obviously, Brock Bowers is number one. And Jatavion Sanders out of Texas is
banged up a little
two.
Bit this past week.
Yeah, a little bit banged up. And his production's kind of waned off a little bit.
You know, a lot of people were recommending that he sit out the rest of the year, but he wanted to play. And I think that shows a lot about Brock Bowers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, all those guys are – there's a lot of respect when you go out there as a student athlete and keep playing, even though there's financial incentive for you to sit. So, yeah, Bowers, though, obviously he's clear-cut number one tight end. Jatavion Sanders, clear-cut number two. Then you look at the rest of these rankings here, and it's like Cade Stover from Iowa State, Luke Lachey from Iowa, and, I mean, really none of these other names outside of those top two.
I think Jaheim Bell deserves to be on here.
I think so, too. I think you look at the rest of these tight ends, it's like nothing about the rest of these guys kind of pops off the screen. But I do agree with you. I think Jaheim Bell, from an athletic standpoint, is someone that'll be really interesting.
He was almost 30 yards of reception last week.
Yeah, yeah. So you get that from your tight end. That's interesting. For offensive tackles, Olufoshinu is his number one tackle, who that's my favorite consensus, tackle in this draft class. That's the consensus top tackle in the class. Joe Alt, number two. Tyler Guyton at Oklahoma is the third tackle here. I mean, really, you look at this, like J.C. Latham at four, Jordan Morgan out of Arizona at five, Amarius Mims out of Georgia, who some people think is better than Broderick Jones,
who's had the Brock Bowers injury, the high ankle, and had the tight rope surgery and back.
Yeah.
Like, at Oregon State, I almost like him in the top five, to be honest with you.
Yeah. You look at all these names, and it's like, this is a really good tackle class. Like, I think if you need a tackle this year, which, I'm not confident the Chiefs are going to be one of those teams that goes after that because of Wanye, but if you need a tackle, this is a really good tackle class, like especially late first, early second. I think you can get some good value there. Surprisingly, none of the Miami guys are on here as well, like Maui Goa and Zion Nelson. I think those two guys are going to be really good tackles as well. So on to the edge rushers. His top edge rusher, and this is for pure defensive ends. He splits defensive ends and outside linebackers. I kind of think that's a bit dated now because it's, you know, now it's just pure edge rushers. But his top defensive end is JT Tuimoloau out of Ohio State, followed by Landon Jackson, Jared Verse, Adisa Isaac, and Darius Robinson. So the pure defensive end class, not that great. I mean, Tuimoloau and Verse are your two guys there that pop out that we've talked about a lot. As far as outside linebackers who are edge rushers, Laiatu Latu out of UCLA.
Your guy.
My guy. Been on him since day one. Dallas Turner out of Alabama, guy that you really like. He's another one that jumps out there. Chris Braswell, the guy on the other side of the defensive line there for Alabama. He's on that list. Chop Robinson as well, who hasn't quite had the year I think a lot of people
been hurt
would.
Back and forth. Yeah. Was able to come back last week and looked okay.
Yeah,
looked not okay. Great. Looked okay.
Jonah Ellis out of Utah is another name there. So I think the outside linebacker class is a little bit more enticing than the defensive end class. But again, these are all edge rushers, and this is where the value is. And I actually think this is a pretty good edge rush class. If the Chiefs needed an edge rusher, I think this would be a really good year to get one. I just don't think they need one. Like, I think they've spent enough draft capital the last few years filling out their defensive line. So maybe if they want to go get a rotational guy on the third day, I'd be cool with that. But, yeah, I think they're good there. Defensive tackles. A little bit surprising here. He's got Tavondre Sweat out of Texas as his top tackle with Jerzon Newton from Illinois as his number two. I kind of got that flipped. I think it's going to be Jerzon Newton first, then Tavondre Sweat. But I get it with Tavondre because the size, the strength, he's got a lot of the measurables you really like there. Leonard Taylor, the third out of Miami, is another guy that he has on there at number three. Tyleek Williams, Ohio State, not sure the Chiefs will take him. But Tyleek is a guy that you really look at as a potential steal at defensive tackle. I think probably second day is when he goes, maybe like somewhere in the early to mid second round. And then Chris Jenkins out of Michigan.
Which I would have him in the top five. I know he's sitting at five right now, but top three, I'd move him up.
Yeah.
I like Chris Jenkins. He's a big part of how good the defense
is in Michigan. Me too. I like him a lot too. I think he's got the size you like. I mean, he was on the freaks list that Dana Brugler put out earlier this year to kind of lead into the college football season. Like, from an athletic standpoint, he's got everything the Chiefs love about defensive linemen there. And this is a guy that played with Mazi Smith last year at Michigan. And this is a guy that's just used to being an anchor on a defensive line. So I think that gives him a lot of value. And if the Chiefs were to go with him in like the second round, I'd be cool with that. Cornerbacks. Cooper DeJean out of Iowa is his top cornerback. Very unfortunate situation.
Returns kicks, corner. He's out for the year with an injury, lower leg, broken fibula.
Yes.
So bad news. I mean, that's an injury that'll keep you out of the combine as well.
Yeah, and so there's...
But the number one corner.
Yeah, I wonder if, like, how that'll play in with his value, because he's obviously not going to be doing any workouts at the combine or anything. He's basically just going to be based solely off of tape, medicals, and interviews. There's not going to be the whole... workout process there.
Might slide behind Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like that might be the case.
At Alabama, yeah.
Yeah, I think that might be the case there. I think Kool-Aid might end up being the top taken corner just because teams don't have that extra added security of knowing that they've got a cornerback that they know is healthy and they know what his measurables are from a physical standpoint. Yeah, Kool-Aid's number two as far as corners go on the list for Kuiper. And then he's got Kamari Lassiter from Georgia as his third corner. Nate Wiggins as his fourth corner. And then Denzel Burke as his fifth corner. So I actually think this is a really good corner class as well. Another guy who's number eighth on his list, Kalen King out of Penn State. That's another guy I really like. Terrion Arnold from Alabama at number seven. Could be a sleeper in this
draft. I like
him,
but again, it comes down to... which he was on Brian Thomas a lot at LSU, and Malik Nabers saw a lot of Kool-Aid
right
in that game. But again, it's one of those deals you have to figure out, all right, Terrion Arnold, Kool-Aid McKinstry, who do they have on the best receiver?
Yeah.
And we've seen Kool-Aid on a lot of them. But you know what? Terrion Arnold's been playing on a lot of them. And their star player, Malachi Moore, has been playing a lot in the nickel. That position, people might remember Barnes from Detroit. They got the
Brian Branch.
They got the pick six against the Chiefs. Was that same star position at Alabama?
Yeah, and the Chiefs like to use that too, with you know, using that star position there with the third
Brian
safety.
Branch was a really good one.
Yeah. Then as far as safeties go, I mean, I think this really is kind of fluid because I think there's a really good safety class as well. Cameron Kitchens is ranked number one on his safeties list.
Agree.
Followed by Tyler Newbin. I actually like Tyler Newbin from Minnesota a little better than Kitchens, but I think Kitchens will be really good. Newbin, he just has the ball hawk ability that I think is so valuable in the game today, especially because of the fact that, like, today now, there's a lot of speed out there on the field, and teams are trying to find ways to get those big chunk plays, even with every team running two deep safeties. So having a guy like him who can be a ball hawk type safety, so valuable. And then Javon Buller from Georgia, Jalen Simpson from Auburn.
I really like Buller.
James Williams from Miami. Yeah,
for versatility purposes.
Yeah, all these guys are really good.
New age safety.
Yeah. And that's kind of what you and here's the thing about these DBs is like the thing that you're going to have to notice about these guys is like tackling is going to be so much more paramount now with teams trying to get their position players into space. So tackling is going to be more important now than ever. Ball hawking ability is obviously going to be big. And, you know, discipline. Can't get those bad penalties. Can't get the DPIs, the holding calls, things like that, because those are drive extenders and they make it tough for your defense. So now these DBs have a lot more to worry about than they did 20 years ago. That's the prospect list, the rankings for each position, you know, on Mel Kiper's big board. You can obviously go to ESPN.com if you want to check out his top 25 players.
And I really like the safeties. Like, again, my favorite draft pick by the Chiefs was Shamari Connor because he played safety, played in the nickel. That versatility.
He's a utility Swiss
safety.
Swiss
to be able to stand and go in the nickel is huge.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, I think that's really kind of – that's one of the things I noticed when I was doing work for PFF last year, watching game film and whatnot, is just how many teams basically had three safeties on the field. One safety would play in that kind of star position there, playing slot, kind of a pseudo slot outside linebacker position. And they'd basically just kind of switch based on whatever the strong side of the defense was, of the offense was. And it's just so interesting to see how versatile you have to be, especially as a safety. Like, nowadays, I think you could make a good case that, like, playing safety can tend to be more difficult than even playing corner because of how much zone is played.
They're also outside linebackers, too, because And it's what quarterbacks hate. Tom Brady's mentioned it back when he played, and Mahomes has mentioned, you know, you had these safeties wearing linebacker numbers, and linebackers wearing safety numbers, so you can't tell, okay, they have a linebacker there or safety?
Yeah, that's why you gotta make sure you memorize the other team's roster so you know who's playing what, so you kind of get an idea of what kind of formations they're running. So, but yeah, I mean, like I said, I definitely think that's an incredibly interesting positional rankings for each list, and I think that could be a good barometer for how we rank players from here on out. So I want to get to the prospect recap, starting off with a game I attended. I was at Florida, Mizzou this weekend.
Oh, that's
weekend.
Right. You were down there for that.
I was in Como for it.
The Graham Mertz crew, the quarterback of Florida.
Graham Mertz decided he wanted to.
He actually had a good year.
He actually had a pretty good year. I mean, he tried to be Tim Tebow at the very end
of it. He's out for the year. But
broke his collarbone.
He's wearing his number.
Yeah. I mean, Richardson did, too, last year. That might just be the quarterback.
They got the defender wearing it, too.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I was at this game. I got to see Luther Burden in person. He had 9 catches, 158 yards. He was so great.
But he,
I'm telling you this. He's not used as well as he could be.
No, he was underused. And these numbers even could have been better. He did have the 4th-and-17, probably the play of the year for Missouri.
That was the play of the year.
The 27-yard gain for the Tigers.
Yeah, not only, I mean, like they misuse him. They throw too many screen passes with him. And, look, he's great in space. But if you do it too often, you know, good teams are going to be able to take advantage of that and, you know, be able to prevent those big gains. He's really great down the field. You know, he's, you know, you get one-on-one with him on the outside there, matchup nightmare. He's the truth. He's going to be the best receiver in next year's draft class. Cody Schrader, their running back, 23, 148 and a touchdown. He was great. Again, I even though he had 23 carries, I thought he was underutilized and misutilized. They ran too much between the tackles with him. And when they run those outside zone runs, he's so great. He's got a great eye. He reminds me of Deuce Vaughn, man.
Or Austin Eckler.
He's a little dude, but he reminds me a lot of those smaller arc type guys.
Played Division II at Truman State. He did not have 100 yards in a game last year. He's got 6 already this year.
Yeah,
he leads
great.
The SEC in rushing, and he's catching the ball in the backfield. But, man, he's a one-cut guy. I like that. He didn't dance. It's one cut and go.
Yeah, exactly.
One cut and go.
He's not trying to do too much. He's not overthinking it. He doesn't run scared. He gets the ball and he's a guy like he's not afraid. Like I think the Eckler comparison might be better than my Deuce one, because like you know Eckler when he gets the ball like that first hit, he doesn't go down. He keeps fighting. That's how I think it is with Schrader too.
He's got that heart, man. It's hard to bring him down. I mean, he plays with that zest, man.
Yeah, I think
he's really really shooting up. I mean, it could be a late pick, yeah.
Probably a third day pick.
Could it be a high priority under the free agent? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't
one way he's
going to
make some money.
I don't think it's going to go that far. I think he's drafted probably 5th, 6th round, but I think there's a lot of value in having a guy like him because he can do everything. He can catch, he can run. He's pretty decent at pass pro. Not great, but pretty decent. But yeah, he can do a lot of things. Chris Abrams drained the corner that they have there at Mizzou. 6 tackles, including a tackle for loss.
Got banged up on a play with Graham Mertz, though.
He did get banged up on
that play. 3 players were hurt, including Graham Mertz.
Yes. I'm going to tell you this right now. At the very minimum, Abrams Drain will have a job in the league for a few years, for a little bit, because he can tackle.
He's tough and tackle. Yeah, you're right.
He's tough.
Comes up and makes hits.
He can tackle. And I've said this so much all year long about the Chiefs. Is like the thing that makes their defense so great, just from a basic standpoint, is tackling. They just don't – If they're in your area, open field tackles, down. You want to throw that screen pass, get you down. You obviously saw that with the in the Dolphins game where McDuffie forces the fumble and ends up getting the game-winning touchdown with Brian Cook. Like, that stuff right there gives so much value to corners. And Abrams-Drain, he can do that in space. I think that's one of his best characteristics is being able to come up and tackle and being that hard hitter. So he was very impressive in that game. I was like, stop running it to his side. And then Ricky Pearsall had 2 catches for 72. A lot of explosiveness. Didn't get enough targets in that game, but you saw the production. K-State had Ben Sinnott, 4 catches for 38 and a touchdown.
And he's really starting to emerge. I mean, I know you've liked him all year, but he looks like a pro towards the end of the year.
Yes.
Making cuts, the routes he's running. The smooth, he catches
he
with his
everywhere.
Hands, not the body.
He's
really
everywhere.
Impressive.
Yeah, he's not putting up like gaudy numbers like Brock Bowers has been throughout the year.
You can tell he's a pro.
He's a pro. He is very much a pro. That's a guy that like He's not going to get a ton of fanfare, but he's going
to
be so good.
His dad liked Kleiman, I think, from the high school days. And yeah. He was going to follow him to North Dakota State, follow him to K-State. What a story.
That is a good story. That is a great story. I think Sennett's going to be great. Brock Bowers, the top tight end in the draft class for Georgia. 7 catches, 60 yards. He looked, like I said.
He's banged up again.
Yeah, he's still working through some things. Obviously, you know, it'll call into question just how much he wants to continue to keep playing with potential money lost in the situation. But again, I think he looks good in how he has performed throughout the year and the fact that he's got that heart to keep playing. Moving on to the Ohio State game, you had Marvin Harrison Jr., who had 3 catches for 30 yards and a touchdown. So very modest performance by him in this game.
But that's what he does, though. It's what he's doing lately. But at the end of the day, he's got a touchdown. I mean,
still contributing. He's not disappearing. Like, he's still productive.
All he does is get touchdowns. I mean, yep. I think he's one of the best players in college football. I think he's, if not the best, with Bowers.
Yeah.
But Marvin Harrison Jr., and you have to look at it, man. He's got a touchdown now in 7 straight games?
Yeah, I think so.
7 straight games, yeah. Multi in 2-3 of them. So even though he might have, you know, 30 yards, it's still a touchdown. I mean, the guy just is unbelievable.
His teammate, Emeka Egbuka, had 5 catches, 83 yards. He led the wide receiver room for Ohio State catches and yards. So he finally had his game where he was the leader of the group there, though it hasn't been that many of them. He does need it. J.J. McCarthy, again, we talked about this when we were doing our initial, you know, we were talking about the big board there for Kuiper. McCarthy's basically been relegated to being a game manager.
Well, he had, 8 passes 2 weeks ago with 60 yards against Penn State?
Yeah, 8 passes.
I mean, he has gone from, like, 3rd in the Heisman rankings in FanDuel to,
bottoming
like, 6th or 7th now, or 8th.
12 for 23, 141 and a pick. That's it. I mean, that's like Zach Wilson numbers.
Now, when Harbaugh's there coaching the game, it's different.
It's just weird. Like, it makes no sense why they've gone away from him. Unless there has to be some sort of injury.
And they're
or
using running backs that aren't getting the job done either.
Yeah. Their running backs haven't been really, really playing that well. And you look at their offense, it doesn't feel like it has the same punch power that it had before. It's just really weird what's happening in Michigan. And I really think that now, if you're a scout for these teams who's looking at a quarterback, if you're an offensive coordinator, if you're a quarterback's coach, you're a head coach, GM, you're looking at that situation, you're like, I don't know. I wonder now, because we talked about this with the sign-stealing thing. I wonder now just how important the sign-stealing thing was to McCarthy's success. We can't quantify that.
But it's something people don't talk about.
We can't quantify.
They always talk about Harbaugh, but yeah. Let's look at the players, too.
Yeah. We can't, like, obviously we cannot quantify how much the help was because we don't know what the help was. But, man, it doesn't look good for him.
Well, if you know someone's in a cover 2 or cover 3.
Exactly. It helps you out because you know, okay, if it's cover 2, it's this route. If it's cover 3, it's this route.
But Michigan wins with that defense. Number 1 defense. 9 points a game is all they give up. I mean, it's insane.
And that'll allow them to be competitive against every team that they play against. But you do have to wonder now just how much that helped J.J. McCarthy. And even if it's not fair, it's going to be something that teams ask, especially during the interview process.
I think it's an under-talked about thing. Everybody's Harbaugh. What about the players? How much did they benefit from knowing what the signs were?
Yeah, so Blake Corum, their running back, their top running back, 28 carries for 94 yards and 2 touchdowns. Not very efficient with his carries there. I mean, didn't even get 100 rushing yards in the game. Donovan Edwards, his backup, 11 carries for 39 yards. So, again, both these guys are under – I mean, in this case for Corum, he's under 3 yards per carry, and Donovan Edwards is under 4 yards per carry in this game. And
28 carries for Corum, though.
Yeah. I mean
– and 11 for Edwards, 39 carries.
They combined for less than 140 yards on almost 40 carries.
Against Maryland.
I was watching that game. I was like, what Michigan team is this? Like, it was
– every team's got those games.
Yeah, and you know, for their sake, I hope they figure it out. But, man, it just does not look that good as far as their draft stock goes and as far as kind of batting away the questions about the sign-stealing aspect. For Florida State, Jaheim Bell, 2 catches, 59 yards, explosive, almost 30 yards a reception there. Yep. Keon Coleman, 3 catches, 53 yards, and a touchdown.
A little under 18 yards a catch.
So you'll take that. That's explosiveness that you like. For Johnny Wilson Jr., 3 for 35. That's his game. Like, he's not going to be an explosive wide receiver. He's going to be a guy, I think, at the NFL level, is going to be a Mike Evans type.
Red
a lot
zone
of catches.
Threat, 6'7".
Exactly. Like, just super tall red zone threat. He's going to be the king of the back shoulder fade, I think, and the deep pass along the seams there. I think that's where his money's going to be made. He's going to have a lot of value there, and I think that's a pretty decent stat line for him continuing to get that production. For Washington, Michael Penix Jr., 13 for 28, 162 yards, 2 touchdowns. His production has started to drop over the last few weeks.
A little bit, but it was a rainy night in Corvallis, Oregon.
Right.
Again, some guys excel in that kind of weather. And if NFL teams want a player that can play well in rain.
Right.
Like tonight, you see Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes.
And it's like, it's funny, you think that the weather is going to ruin the scoring in that game. And watch those two teams score like almost 30, almost 30 tonight.
It doesn't bother the good ones.
Yes, yeah. Their running back, Dylan Johnson, 16 carries for 89 yards. So he's starting to get a little bit of consistent production there. Romo Odunze, their top wide receiver.
Great catches.
7 catches, 106 yards.
I mean, his placement, the way he runs his routes, the catches, I mean, he's showing why he could be the top receiver drafted.
Yes, yeah. I think he's definitely putting himself into that discussion of being that number two on a consistent rate. I think there's going to be a lot of talk about him, Keon Coleman, and Malik Nabers as being that number two wide receiver. And I think the combine is going to be so important for those guys. Like, that's going to be, I think, the make or break for those guys. DJ Uiagalelei, the quarterback on the other side there in that Washington-Oregon State game, he had 15 for 31, 164 yards, 2 picks. He also ran for 6 times for 53 yards.
Big dude, played at Clemson.
Yeah, like he's been there, he's done that. I think he's a late round guy. I think he's going to be someone. He could be like the next Joshua Dobbs type, DTR type, those backup, like kind of those super backup guys that you hear a lot of hype about, and they come in and they perform well. Probably not going to be a career starter, but I think a good backup is I think he could be a good backup in the league, a quarterback. Bo Nix, a guy that I think both of us think will be a very good starter in the NFL. 24 of 49 for 404 yards. He had 6 touchdowns in the first half of that game.
Yeah, Bo Nix, climb. He's, what, second on a lot of Heisman lists.
Yes. I think he deserves – I think you would make a very, very good case for him being on top. Even though Jaden Daniels is killing it right now, I don't think he is. I think Jaden Daniels has a lot more help around him than Bo Nix does. So I think you can make a case for Bo Nix as the Heisman, even though I would give it to Jaden. His top receiver, a guy that we talked about last week as a riser, a moneymaker. His top wide receiver is Troy Franklin. He had 8 catches, 121 yards, 2 touchdowns. And now you're starting to see people in Chiefs Kingdom who are in the draft circles, the Matt Lanes from KCSN, talking about Franklin as a potential Chiefs wide receiver in the first round.
Franklin has gone from third, fourth round to a first round possible
very
guy.
Quickly. Very quickly.
I mean, he leads the way for the Oregon Ducks, who could be undefeated if Dan Lanning didn't coach like Brandon Staley against Washington.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, man. Like, I like Troy. I think he's got the kind of speed that the Chiefs like at wide receiver. He is that deep threat that I think the Chiefs need. And, you know, the way that he's a very reliable receiver for a team that loves to throw the football down the field, a lot of explosive passing plays, all about the air raid. I mean, that's what they do. I really think Troy Franklin could be a very strong option for the Chiefs at the back end of that first round. If there is that big run on wide receivers, I think we both think
and he's 6'2".
Got good size, yeah. He's got the big thing for him is going to be the 40 time. I think that's going to be big for him.
Puka didn't have a good one, and he look where he went.
Yeah, but he went 5th round, and, you know, value kind of hurt him. But there's a lot that Troy Franklin does. Quinn Ewers, quarterback at Texas, 23 of 33, 281 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Who said basically he might be coming back.
Yeah.
Which I think makes it interesting for Arch Manning.
Yeah.
But Quinn Ewers, actually, I mean, I have him slotted as a first-round quarterback, but I mean, there is talk about him coming back.
I can see that, but I kind of feel – I think Quinn is just trying to kind of play it coy and not commit because, I think Texas fans want him gone. I think the hype for Arch Manning is something that Texas fans want to see. And I think for Quinn, I think it's probably better for him to just, I mean, he's got a first-round value. I think if you got a first-round grade at quarterback, go into the draft. Especially because, like, even if you're not a top-10 pick, there's value in going to a team that's better.
Agree. Catch the wave, man.
Yeah, go to a team that's better that just needs a young quarterback that they can develop. If he can go to a team like the Vikings, it'd be a great situation for him, you know? If he can go to a – there's a lot of competitive teams in this league right now that could use a quarterback. I could see San Fran going after him. And I think there would be a lot of value there. So if I were you, I'd be trying to get out. I think it's a great position to be a mid-first-round guy because there's better teams to go to. His top receiver, Xavier Worthy, 4 catches for 77 yards. His tight end, Jatavion Sanders, 2 catches for 32 yards. So Jatavion, not explosive, not putting up great numbers, but still, you know, you wonder about that ankle injury. But Xavier Worthy's been very consistent as their top wide receiver.
He's mocked the Chiefs quite a bit.
Yes. Yes.
He can return as well.
Yeah, he can return as well, which, again, tons of value because the Chiefs very much value the return game. Then we get to the Heisman leader, Jaden Daniels. You brought up his stat line already, 25 of 30, 413 passing yards, 6 passing touchdowns, 10 carries, 96 yards rushing, 2 rushing touchdowns.
Eight touchdowns, man.
Touchdowns, man. I said this before.
Video game numbers he puts up every week.
I said this before. Jaden Daniels, I think, is going to be a second round. Maybe I think now he might be a first round guy who some team's going to draft and
stash.
We got
7 quarterbacks, a record.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
He might be a draft and stash quarterback.
We might have a record wide receiver and quarterback first round.
Yeah, I'll say this. I just hope he doesn't. I hope he goes to the NFC, man. There's so many damn quarterbacks in the AFC. Like, this is a guy I think has a lot of potential to be an electric starter. He could be a Jalen Hurts type. And, you end up being another Jalen Hurts type. There's a lot of value in that. His top receiver, Malik Nabers, had 8 catches for 140 yards, 2 touchdowns. Mr. Consistent. Your guy, Brian Thomas Jr., had 4 catches, 103 yards, and a touchdown. So their top two guys combined for 243
yards. Second nation touchdowns now.
Nasty. Brian Thomas Jr., he's going to be, I think, a steal. I don't think he's going to be a first-round guy. I think he's going to be a second-round guy. Autryk Estime, probably the top running back in all of college football. 22 carries for 115 yards and a touchdown. And then Drake May, quarterback for UNC. 16 of 36 for 209 yards.
That was a rough game against Clemson.
Touchdown, interception. He's had a few games like that this year where it's just like nothing eye-popping from a number standpoint. But again,
it just shows you what things could happen in the next year. And he had to come back this year and play.
Right.
But you know, Josh Allen, you know, had a better second year than he does third year.
He did, yeah. And I mean, we saw that with like Trey Lance and Jordan Love as well. Both
Trey Lance only played one game last year at North Coast State.
Exactly. So it's like a lot of those guys going into the draft, their last years weren't great. So, I don't think very many teams are going to hold it over Drake May just because I think it's more of a measurable thing than it is a production thing. So moving on to moneymakers, two guys that jump out to me as guys who have made themselves some money. First, Jaden Daniels, obviously. Again, he leads the FBS with 36 touchdown passes. He has 46 touchdowns on the year. He has 800 more yards than any player in college football.
Incredible transfer portal quarterback. People like talking about that.
Yes, Arizona State. A Herm Edwards guy at Arizona
That's
State.
That's right.
And he transferred over to LSU, which LSU's done really well with transfer quarterbacks. Obviously, see Joe Burrow as well, who transferred from Ohio State. And, I mean, it's just incredible seeing the ascension that Jaden Daniels has had. What was he at the beginning of the year, like 4th in Heisman odds?
Yeah. I think 4th or 6th.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, he just jumps. He's the top guy.
And he would be the top if LSU didn't have the 3 losses.
Oh, yeah. Like, and I think at this point now, he's probably put himself in position to win it. Because, like, I mean, it's him, it's Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr. Is there anybody else that you would put up there?
I've got Marvin Harrison Jr. just because I think he's just such a playmaker there. And Carson Beck, that I think is really
Carson
starting
Beck,
to
he's
show.
Really good with
he's really climbing. Like, you talk about quarterbacks climbing. Carson Beck, no one knew what to expect from him because it's been Stetson Bennett. But, man, Carson Beck is coming in, stepping in right there, and leading Georgia some big wins the last couple weeks.
Yeah. The other guy.
And doing without Bowers a couple games.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he did a really good job helping McConkey get acclimated when McConkey wasn't having quite the best year. The other guy I would have is Xavier Watts, safety out of Notre Dame. 7 picks on the year, leads the FBS. He's got 5 picks in his last 4 games. Didn't have one this past weekend, but in the previous 3 games, 5 picks.
Yeah, 5 in the last 4, yeah.
5 picks. He is just, he right now, especially at the safety spot, because that's a position, generally it's more so corners at the
ball
collegiate
hawk,
level.
Ball hawk, man.
But there's a lot of value in being a ball hawk there. Moving on to our watch list for the week. Starting out, TCU versus Oklahoma. 2 guys to look out for, one being Tyler Guyton, the tackle that we pointed out was being mocked to the Chiefs in one of the drafts. The other being center Andrew Rame.
From Oklahoma, yeah. Both offensive linemen for Oklahoma.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of become a school that has produced a lot of really good offensive linemen in the league.
Chiefs grabbed Wanye Morris from there.
Yeah, they got Wanye Morris there.
And Orlando Brown was there, too.
Orlando Brown was there. Creed Humphrey's from there. They just, again, we talked about it last week. You want to get an offensive lineman, Oklahoma seems to be a good spot for it. Miami taking on Boston College. They have 2 tackles, that being Zion Nelson, Francis Maui-Goa. Safety James Williams and safety Cameron Kitchens. Both guys in Kuiper's top 5.
Yeah, Kuiper's number 1 guy in Kitchens.
Yeah, so they've got some talent there. What was the receiver's name? Refestro or something like that. He had a big game. He had like almost 200 receiving yards in their win this past weekend. I caught a little bit of that as well. They got a lot of talent for a team that really isn't that great.
A lot of people thought Van Dyke would be a first-round quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, at one point early in the season, before that meltdown they had where they should have knelt it, and instead you get the turnover, and then who was it? Was that Duke that they played that week?
Sherpa had 8 for 193 and a touchdown, yeah. but they've lost 3 in a row.
Yeah,
Miami.
They're not the same team since that loss that they had.
Clock management, man.
Yep. Then number 9, Missouri takes on Arkansas. These games are all on Friday, mind you. So don't be looking for them on Saturday, and then you see the final score already. Mizzou takes on Arkansas in that fake rivalry that they've tried to create there with the
Battle
state
rivalry
of Arkansas. Quarterback Chris Abrams-Drain, who I can vouch, he's the truth, man. He's for real. He's an NFL cornerback. Probably going to be a really, really good second-day pick for somebody. He is going to be obviously playing in the game. And then their edge rusher, Darius Robinson.
A lot of people think he's the best one. I mean, you probably saw him. You saw him first last week. He really flies and pops. And, of course, Cody Schrader, another one to watch from there.
Yeah, Schrader's obviously going to be someone to watch out for. Running back for them, number 7. Again, probably a third-day guy, but got a ton of value there. Austin Ekeler type. Texas Tech takes on Texas on Friday. Quinn Ewers, Xavier Worthy, Jonathan Brooks, Jatavion Sanders, all on the offense. On defense, you got Tavondre Sweat, Byron Murphy II, Jalen Catalan. I forgot, A.D. Mitchell.
A.D. Mitchell, the wide receiver. They have 2 receivers that A.D. Mitchell's been a guy, both of them, both Texas receivers and tight ends, been mocked to the Chiefs quite a bit.
Yeah, A.D. Mitchell's gotten a lot of hype for late first as well. I kind of think he's going to be a second-round guy, but I could totally see somebody falling in love with him and taking him in the 20s somewhere. So there's going to be a lot of value there. That Texas team is going to get absolutely torn apart this year by the draft. So Steve Sarkisian is going to have a big challenge next year in the SEC with losing like half of his team to the draft. Penn State is going to be taking on Michigan State on Friday as well. 2 guys to really check out there. I don't know if Chop Robinson's going to play at all in that game because he's kind of had some injury issues this year. But 2 guys for sure you want to watch out for. Tackle Olufoshanu, who is pretty much seems like the consensus number 1 offensive tackle.
I think he is the number 1 tackle.
And then Kalen King, their top cornerback, who
stud.
Very
great defense.
Yeah, he's one of the big leaders on that defense. And he's, I think, another guy kind of like Joey Porter Jr., true coverage cornerback.
So, and a great tackler.
Yeah, very good tackler. You definitely – he's a guy that will be playing a lot on Sundays.
Kuiper had him as 8th corner.
Yeah, which is, I think, a good spot for him. I think he's second day guy. He got a little bit of first round hype at the beginning of the year, but that's kind of waned a little bit. Oregon State takes on Oregon on Friday as well. DJ Uiagalelei is a guy you're going to watch for on that Oregon State team. Also, Talisi Fuaga, a tackle that they have there.
A lot of people see him just climbing the charts. And Joshua Gray, so the bookend tackles for Oregon State.
Yeah, so they've got a good front five on the offensive side. And, yeah, I see a lot of value there. Also, Bo Nix, quarterback for Oregon on the other side there, probably going to be a first-round pick. And then Troy Franklin, wide receiver for them.
Again, some Chiefs fans' attention.
Yeah, watch out for him.
Wide receivers everywhere.
If you're a Chiefs fan, watch out for him because I think the value and the skill set matches up. So that's a guy you want to watch out for if I were you. Ohio State takes on Michigan in that big rivalry. Michigan's taken the last two matchups there. On the Ohio State side, you got Marvin Harrison Jr. and Emeka Egbuka at wide receiver. You've got Tyleek Williams, Michael Hall Jr. on the interior of the defensive line. And on the edges, you got JT Tuimoloau and Jack Sawyer. Then also you got Denzel Burke at DB for the
one of my favorites
for the Ohio State. He's going to be a very good corner at the professional level. On the Michigan sideline, you've got J.J. McCarthy at quarterback, which, I mean, I might have to start taking him off this list the way he's playing right now because he's not playing that good.
He's definitely got himself out of the first round.
I think right now he's definitely like a – I think he kind of looks like a third rounder right now the way he's kind of playing. He kind of reminds me of an Aiden O'Connell type guy. Then you've got Blake Corum, Donovan Edwards, who, again, both are kind of losing a little bit of value there at running back. And then you got defensive tackle Chris Jenkins, who I think is going to be there in the second round. Texas A&M starting on Saturday now. Ohio State Michigan was on Saturday too. But A&M, LSU, they play this Saturday. And in that matchup, you've got Jaden Daniels, who could be a first-round quarterback now, might end up replacing J.J. McCarthy as a first-round quarterback. Wide receiver Malik Nabers, wide receiver Brian Thomas Jr., guys that he's throwing to. Then on the defensive side, you've got Mason Smith and Mekhi Wingo playing interior defensive line. And then guard Garrett Dellinger playing up front in front of Jaden Daniels. So, again, this LSU team is loaded with talent. Pittsburgh takes on Duke. Really only got to watch out for in that game is Riley Leonard, quarterback there for Duke. Colorado takes on Utah. Shedeur Sanders, who, again, might be staying. We'll see.
No line.
We don't know. Like, I think there's a whole lot of playing a little bit of games there between him and his dad, Dion. So that'll be interesting. Xavier Weaver, top wide receiver, going to be someone to watch out for as well. Edge, Jonah Ellis for Utah. That's going to be someone to watch out for. I think he could be a second-day steal in the draft. Alabama takes on Auburn in the Iron Bowl. Both edge rushers, obviously, are going to be guys to watch out for, Braswell and Dallas Turner. Kool-Aid McKinstry, someone to watch out for. McKinley Jackson, Malachi Moore, Terry and Arnold at corner for them. Also, those are part of that trio.
The secondary, the Malachi Moore, that star, Terry and Arnold, the corner on the other side, Kool-Aid. Watch who they're going against. Again, yes. Auburn's not a very good litmus test because they did lose to New Mexico State and Jerry Kill 31-10 at home last week.
They lost to New Mexico State.
Jerry Kill's doing awesome. 9-3.
Yeah.
Might be coach of the year in NCAA.
Yeah.
Former Day Shift weekly guest.
Yes, I remember. You're a big fan of Jerry Kill, man. Northwestern takes on Illinois. I mean, let's keep it a buck, man. This is not going to be a good game.
No.
These teams
Northwestern
suck.
Has played well, though.
They played well lately, but these teams really aren't that good. Jerzon Newton, defensive tackle in this draft class. Got to watch out for Illinois. Keith Randolph.
I put Keith Randolph on here, too, because he had a good year last year.
He had a little hype going into the year.
He's the team captain. Leads the nations in tackles per game among defensive tackles. Mm-hmm. So five and a half tackles a game from a defensive tackle spot. So that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, he hasn't got quite the hype since the season started, but preseason matchups, I think he was also on the freaks list for Brugler as well from the Athletic there. So certainly got to watch out for. Also, Isaiah Adams, who's a tackle for Illinois, going to be a guy to watch out for as well. Washington State takes on Washington in what could be the very last matchup. between these two teams unless they work out.
No, they have worked out. The Apple Cup is going to get five more years, I think.
Okay, that's good.
Lumen Field next year, then it's going to alternate.
That's good. I know we've, like, some of these matchups.
So the Apple Cup's going
to
continue.
Some of these matchups have kind of been pushed off to the wayside. Like,
that's why I like this week in the rivalries.
Yeah, me too. Like Bedlam is ending for now. Obviously, I think they'll come to an agreement to play at some point, but. So it's good to see those two teams continue to play. The guys you want to watch out for: Michael Penix Jr. at quarterback. Then at wide receiver, you got Romo Dunze, Jalen McMillan, Jalen Polk. McMillan and Polk, I don't think, played this past weekend. But
they did. But Polk played, I believe. But
they did. I know McMillan's had some injury issues throughout the year. But
my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Worthy, four catches for 77 yards. His tight end, Jatavion Sanders, two catches for 32 yards. So, Jatavion, not explosive, not putting up great numbers, but still, you wonder about that ankle injury. But Xavier Worthy's been very consistent as their top wide receiver.
He's mocked the Chiefs quite a bit.
Yes. Yes.
He can return as well.
Yeah, he can return as well, which, again, tons of value because the Chiefs very much value the return game. Then we get to the Heisman leader, Jaden Daniels. You brought up his stat line already. 25 of 30, 413 passing yards, 6 passing touchdowns, 10 carries, 96 yards rushing, 2 rushing touchdowns.
Eight touchdowns,
eight
man.
Touchdowns, man. I said this before.
Video game numbers he puts up every week.
I said this before. Jaden Daniels, I think, is going to be a second round, maybe. I think now he might be a first round guy who some team's going to draft and
we
stash.
We got 7 quarterbacks, a record.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
He might be a draft and stash quarterback.
We might have a record wide receiver and quarterback first round.
Yeah. I'll say this. I just hope he doesn't. I hope he goes to the NFC, man. There's so many damn quarterbacks in the AFC. Like, this is a guy I think has a lot of potential to be an electric starter. He could be a Jalen Hurts type. And, you end up being another Jalen Hurts type. There's a lot of value in that. his top receiver, Malik Nabers, had 8 catches for 140 yards, 2 touchdowns. Mr. Consistent. Your guy, Brian Thomas Jr., had 4 catches, 103 yards, and a touchdown. So their top two guys combined for 243
yards. Second nation
yards.
Touchdowns now.
Nasty. Brian Thomas Jr., he's going to be, I think, a steal.
And he's 6'4".
I don't think he's going to be a first-round guy. I think he's going to be a second-round guy. Autryk Estime, probably the top running back in all of college football. 22 carries for 115 yards and a touchdown. And then Drake May, quarterback for UNC. 16 of 36 for 209 yards.
That was a rough game against Clemson.
Touchdown, interception. He's had a few games like that this year where it's just like nothing eye-popping from a number standpoint. But again,
it just shows you what things could happen in the next year. And he had to come back this year and play.
Right.
But you know, Josh Allen, you know, had a better second year than he did his third year.
He did, yeah. And I mean, we saw that with like Trey Lance and Jordan Love as well. Both
Trey Lance only played one game last year at North Coast State.
Exactly. So it's like a lot of those guys going into the draft, their last years weren't great. So, I don't think very many teams are going to hold it over Drake May just because I think it's more of a measurable thing than it is a production thing. So moving on to moneymakers, two guys that jump out to me as guys who have made themselves some money. First, Jaden Daniels, obviously. Again, he leads the FBS with 36 touchdown passes. He has 46 touchdowns on the year. He has 800 more yards than any player in college football.
Incredible transfer portal quarterback. People like talking about that.
Yes, Arizona this was State. A Herm Edwards guy at Arizona
That's
State.
That's right.
And he transferred over to LSU, which LSU's done really well with transfer quarterbacks. Obviously, see Joe Burrow as well, who transferred from Ohio State. And, I mean, it's just incredible seeing the ascension that Jaden Daniels has had. What was he at the beginning of the year, like fourth in Heisman odds,
I think? Fourth or fifth.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, he just jumps. He's the top guy.
And he would be the top if LSU didn't have the three losses.
Oh, yeah. Like, and I think at this point now, he's probably put himself in position to win it. Because, like, I mean, it's him, it's Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr. Is there anybody else that you would put up there?
I've got Marvin Harrison Jr. just because I think he's just such a playmaker there. And Carson Beck, that I think is really
Carson
starting
Beck,
to
he's
show.
Really good with
he's
Jordan.
Really climbing. Like, you talk about quarterbacks climbing. Carson Beck, no one knew what to expect from him because it's been Stetson Bennett. But, man, Carson Beck is coming in, stepping in right there and leading Georgia some big wins last couple weeks.
Yeah. The other guy.
And do it without Bowers a couple games.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he did a really good job helping McConkie get acclimated when McConkie wasn't having quite the best year. The other guy I would have is Xavier Watts, safety out of Notre Dame. 7 picks on the year, leads the FBS. He's got 5 picks in his last 4 games. Didn't have one this past weekend, but in the previous 3 games, 5 picks.
Yeah, 5 in the last 4, yeah.
5 picks. He right now, especially at the safety spot, because that's a position, generally it's more so corners at the
ball
level.
Ball hawk, man.
But there's a lot of value in being a ball hawk there. Moving on to our watch list for the week. Starting out, TCU versus Oklahoma. Two guys to look out for. One being Tyler Guyton, the tackle that we pointed out was being mocked to the Chiefs in one of the drafts. The other being center Andrew Raim.
From Oklahoma, yeah. Both offensive linemen for Oklahoma.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of become a school that has produced a lot of really good offensive linemen in the league.
Chiefs grabbed Wanya Morris from there.
Yeah, they got Wanya Morris there.
And Orlando Brown was there, too.
Orlando Brown was there. Creed Humphrey's from there. They just, again, we talked about last week, you want to get an offensive lineman. Oklahoma seems to be a good spot for it. Miami taking on Boston College. They have two tackles, that being Zion Nelson, Francis Maui-Goa. Safety James Williams and safety Cameron Kitchens, both guys in Kuiper's top 5.
Yeah, Kuiper's number one guy in Kitchens.
Yeah, so they've got some talent there. What was the receiver's name? Refestro or something like that. He had a big game. He had like almost 200 receiving yards in their win this past weekend. I caught a little bit of that as well. They got a lot of talent for a team that really isn't that great.
A lot of people thought Van Dyke would be a first-round quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, at one point early in the season, before that meltdown they had where they should have knelt it, and instead you get the turnover, and then who was it? Was that Duke that they played that week?
We sure played 8 for 193 and a touchdown, yeah. But they've lost 3 in a row.
Yeah,
Miami.
They're not the same team since that loss that they had.
Clock management, man.
Yep. Then number 9, Missouri takes on Arkansas. These games are all on Friday, mind you. So don't be looking for them on Saturday, and then you see the final score already. Mizzou takes on Arkansas in that fake rivalry that they've tried to create there with the state
rivalry
of Arkansas. Quarterback Chris Abrams-Drain, who I am – I can vouch he's the truth, man. He's for real. He's an NFL cornerback. Probably going to be a really, really good second day pick for somebody. He is going to be obviously playing in the game. And then their edge rusher, Darius Robinson.
A lot of people think he's the best one. I mean, you probably saw him. You saw him personally last week. He really flies and pops. And, of course, Cody Schrader, another one to watch from there.
Yeah, Schrader's obviously going to be someone to watch out for. Running back for them, number seven. Again, probably a third-day guy, but got a ton of value there. Austin Ekeler type. Texas Tech takes on Texas on Friday. Quinn Ewers, Xavier Worthy, Jonathan Brooks, Jatavion Sanders, all on the offense. On defense, you got Tavondre Sweat, Byron Murphy II, Jalen Catalan. I forgot, A.D. Mitchell.
A.D. Mitchell,
well,
the wide receiver. They have two receivers that A.D. Mitchell's been a guy, both Texas receivers and tight ends, been mocked to the Chiefs quite a bit.
Yeah, A.D. Mitchell's gotten a lot of hype for late first as well. I kind of think he's going to be a second round guy, but I could totally see somebody falling in love with him and taking him in the 20s somewhere. So there's going to be a lot of value there. That Texas team is going to get absolutely torn apart this year by the draft. So Steve Sarkisian is going to have a big challenge next year in the SEC with losing like half of his team to the draft. Penn State is going to be taking on Michigan State on Friday as well. Two guys really check out there. I don't know if Chop Robinson's going to play at all in that game because he's kind of had some injury issues this year. But two guys for sure you want to watch out for. Tackle Olufoshanu, who is pretty much seems like the consensus number one offensive tackle.
I think he is the number one tackle.
And then Kalen King, their top cornerback. Stud.
Great defense.
Yeah, he's one of the big leaders on that defense. And he's, I think, another guy kind of like Joey Porter Jr., true coverage cornerback.
So. And a great tackler.
Yeah, very good tackler. You definitely he's a guy that'll be playing a lot on Sundays.
Kuiper him is eighth corner.
Yeah, which is, I think, a good spot for him. I think he's second-day guy. He got a little bit of first-round hype at the beginning of the year, but that's kind of waned a little bit. Oregon State takes on Oregon on Friday as well. DJ Uiagalelei is a guy you're going to watch for on that Oregon State team. Also, Talisi Fuaga, a tackle that they have there.
A lot of people see him just climbing the charts. And Joshua Gray, so the bookend tackles for Oregon State.
Yeah, so they've got a good front five on the offensive side. And, yeah, I see a lot of value there. Also, Bo Nix, quarterback for Oregon on the other side there, probably going to be a first-round pick. And then Troy Franklin, wide receiver for them.
Again, some Chiefs fans' attention.
Yeah, watch out for him.
Wide receivers everywhere.
If you're a Chiefs fan, watch out for him because I think the value and the skill set matches up. So that's a guy you want to watch out for if I were you. Ohio State takes on Michigan in that big rivalry. Michigan's taken the last two matchups there. On the Ohio State side, you got Marvin Harrison Jr. and Emeka Egbuka at wide receiver. You've got Tyleek Williams, Michael Hall Jr. on the interior of the defensive line. And on the edges, you got JT Tuimoloau and Jack Sawyer. Then also you got Denzel Burke at DB for the
one of my favorites
for the Ohio State. He's going to be a very good corner at the professional level. On the Michigan sideline, you've got J.J. McCarthy at quarterback, which, I mean, I might have to start taking him off this list the way he's playing right now because he's not playing that good.
He's definitely got himself out of the first round.
I think right now he's definitely like a – I think he kind of looks like a third rounder right now the way he's kind of playing. He kind of reminds me of an Aiden O'Connell type guy. Then you've got Blake Corum, Donovan Edwards, who, again, both are kind of losing a little bit of value there at running back. And then you got defensive tackle Chris Jenkins, who I think is going to be there in the second round. Texas A&M starting on Saturday now. The Ohio State Michigan was on Saturday too. But A&M, LSU, they play this Saturday. And in that matchup, you've got Jaden Daniels, who could be a first-round quarterback now, might end up replacing J.J. McCarthy as a first-round quarterback. Wide receiver Malik Nabers, wide receiver Brian Thomas Jr., guys that he's throwing to. Then on the defensive side, you've got Mason Smith and Mekhi Wingo playing interior defensive line. And then guard Garrett Dellinger playing up front in front of Jaden Daniels. So, again, this LSU team is loaded with talent. Pittsburgh takes on Duke. Really only got to watch out for in that game is Riley Leonard, quarterback there for Duke. Colorado takes on Utah. Shedeur Sanders, who, again, might be staying. We'll see.
No line.
We don't know. Like, I think there's a whole lot of playing a little bit of games there between him and his dad, Dion. So that'll be interesting. Xavier Weaver, top wide receiver, going to be someone to watch out for as well. Edge, Jonah Ellis for Utah. That's going to be someone to watch out for. I think he could be a second-day steal in the draft. Alabama takes on Auburn in the Iron Bowl. Both edge rushers, obviously, are going to be guys to watch out for, Braswell and Dallas Turner. Kool-Aid McKinstry, someone to watch out for. McKinley Jackson, Malachi Moore, Terry and Arnold at corner for them. Also, those are part of that trio.
The secondary, the Malachi Moore, the star, Terry and Arnold, the corner on the other side, Kool-Aid. Watch who they're going against. Again, yes. Auburn's not a very good litmus test because they did lose to New Mexico State. Jerry Kill 31-10 at home last week.
They lost to New Mexico State.
Jerry Kill's doing awesome. 9-3.
Jerry Kill, yeah.
He might be coach of the year in NCAA.
Yeah.
Former day shift weekly guest.
Yes, I remember. You're a big fan of Jerry Kill, man. Northwestern takes on Illinois. I mean, let's keep it a buck, man. This is not going to be a good game.
No.
These teams
Northwestern
suck.
Has played well, though.
They played well lately, but these teams really aren't that good. Jerzon Newton, defensive tackle in this draft class. Guy to watch out for Illinois. Keith Randolph.
I put Keith Randolph on here, too, because he had a good year last year.
He had a little hype going into the year.
He's the team captain. Leads the nations in tackles per game among defensive tackles. Mm-hmm. So five and a half tackles a game from a defensive tackle spot. So that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, he hasn't got quite the hype since the season started, but preseason matchups. I think he was also on the freaks list for Brugler as well from the Athletic there. So certainly got to watch out for. Also, Isaiah Adams, who's a tackle for Illinois, going to be a guy to watch out for as well. Washington State takes on Washington in what could be the very last matchup between these two teams, unless they work out.
No, they have worked out. The Apple Cup is going to get five more years, I think.
Okay, that's good.
Lumen Field next year, then it's going to alternate.
That's good.
Apple Cup's going to continue.
Some of these matchups have kind of been pushed off to the wayside. Like
that's why I like this week in the rivalries.
Yeah, me too. Like Bedlam is ending for now. Obviously, I think they'll come to an agreement to play at some point. But so it's good to see those two teams continue to play. Guys you want to watch out for: Michael Penix Jr. at quarterback. Then at wide receiver, you got Romo Dunze, Jalen McMillan, Jalen Polk. McMillan and Polk, I don't think, played this past weekend. But
they did. But Polk played, I believe. But
they did. I know McMillan's had some injury issues throughout the year. But if those guys are healthy, you obviously want to watch out for them. It certainly looks like they've had a lot of injury issues.
Yeah,
in that.
Jalen Polk's one of my favorites.
Yes.
Size, speed.
And I think those injuries have probably contributed a lot to why Penix's production has gone down the last couple weeks or so. But still, I think
playing in the rain, it didn't help.
I think this could be an electric game from them. Washington State's really not that. They're not a great team. They got some talent though. FSU takes on Florida. Now that Jordan Travis is in that situation, is injured now, I think Florida has a pretty good chance in this game. But it'll be interesting to see what happens with the backup there and the receivers they have. They still have a ton of talent on that squad there.
Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson Jr.
Yep, those are two receivers you're going to watch out for.
Jaheim Bell, the tight end.
Yep, Jaheim Bell is another guy you want to watch out for. Edge Jared Verse is going to be someone to watch out for Florida State.
Guys really to
as
watch
well.
For Florida State.
And then you definitely want to watch Ricky Pearsall, wide receiver for Florida. Princely Amonmian for Florida, their edge rusher there. Another guy to watch out for. Decent talent there on the Florida side, but certainly nobody near the top. I think Princely is someone that is actually probably could be a second-day guy, but I actually think is an early third-day guy. Notre Dame takes on Stanford. Quarterback Sam Hartman, who I think his value has dropped. Autryk Estime, probably the top running back in the nation this year, could very well be the top running back taken in the draft in April. Joe Alt and Blake Fisher, who
bookend tackles, just like Oregon State.
Yeah, I think they are probably the best tandem at tackle in the country. Joe Alt's probably the number two tackle in this draft class. Blake Fisher, I think, is probably going to be somewhere in the second round. So good value there. That's going to be someone to watch out for. Georgia takes on Georgia Tech, and you got Brock Bowers there. And we'll obviously see. He got a new injury now, so we'll see his status for the game. Ladd McConkey though has done a very good job in place of
rising up draft charts.
He is very
looking
much
second round, third round now.
Yes, I think he's a second day guy. And yeah, there's a lot of value with him. He's definitely impressed a lot of people by coming in and basically doing everything that Brock Bowers was doing before. You also have Kamari Lassiter at corner and Javon Bullard at safety for Georgia. Not quite as stacked all around as they've been, but still a great team. Clemson takes on South Carolina. Two guys on that Clemson defense you want to watch out for: linebacker Jeremiah Trotter Jr., cornerback Nate Wiggins as well. I've seen Wiggins get a lot more hype here recently. I think he's
been a guy that I pretty much hyped every week.
Yeah, you've been talking about a lot. I think both those guys are probably second-round guys. UNC takes on NC State. Drake May, obviously quarterback. Guy that you actually texted me about, though, this weekend. Tez Walker.
He got my text to you this week. He's just bigger. You understand he transferred to Kent State. You understand why they wanted him eligible. Because he was ruled ineligible the first couple years. But he is a big play receiver.
Yes, big play guy. He's got the size you like. And like I said, we talked about this when he first started playing after that fiasco with the eligibility. You see why Mac Brown was so adamant in getting Tez Walker out there to play.
He wanted him bad.
He wanted him bad. And I get it, because Tez is easily the best weapon that they have on their offense right now. Then you've got Iowa State taking on K-State. Two guys watch out for: Cooper Beebe, tackle for them. You know, I've seen him as the number two tackle in this draft class. I think it was Zach Zinter or what? I can't remember who
they had
moving
the tackle at the NFL. To me, he's still a guard.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, Beebe is a guy to look out for. You said Beebe moved to tackle or Zinter?
Like, some of the charts have him as a tackle.
As a tackle, okay. I'm not sure about that, but yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, if he can move to tackle, that significantly increases his earning potential.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that would be a good move for, if he could do it, that's great for him. You know, that's a lot of money there. Ben Sinnott, guy that we both think is very professional tight end in this draft class. So, someone to watch out for. And then Cal taking on UCLA. Guy to watch out for: edge rusher Liatu Latu, my favorite edge rusher in the draft class. And someone I think has, I think he could be end up being the top edge rusher in this draft class taken, period. So, a lot of great prospects to watch out for this
weekend. It'll be a fun weekend. It starts Friday. You get Saturday.
Yes.
Great rivalry games with good prospect list.
I love rivalry weekend, man. This is one of my favorite weekends of college football season. Like, seeing the interstate rivalries like that is so much fun, man. I love watching those teams. It a lot of times hasn't been good for me lately because Florida State hasn't usually panned out very well. But yeah, there's a lot of good talent here. It's going to be a lot of fun games. And this is going to be the last opportunity for most of these guys to show what they can do during the season.
Most of them are skip bowl games, so.
Yes, most of them are going to skip bowl games. Most of them will not play next weekend during championship weekend. So this is it
right
here.
We get there.
Yes. So, with that, we will keep you updated on prospects who are impressing us, who are showing what they can do, trying to improve their draft stock. We keep you updated on the guys who are pretty much locked in at the very top of their positions for the upcoming NFL draft. Plus, we will also keep you up on championship weekend. Who to watch for? Who's going to go out there and do their thing and try to make themselves a little money going into next year's draft? For Jay Binkley, I'm Kristen Osero. We thank you for taking time out of your day to listen to us here on the Character Concerns Podcast.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments,
Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.